Yeah, let's do that again. Take two. Rather interesting today. Restart that. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Can everybody hear me now? A little better? Good deal. Awesome. You know what? It's a good thing that we're family. It's a good thing that God is bigger than technology and our issues, right? And the things that we do. So, anyways, thank you all for being at LifePoint Church today. Although you're probably like, if this is your first time here, you're probably like, what in the world is going on? That's okay. It's cool. That's just how we roll. So, today we are kicking off a new message series. It's going to be a six-week series on the book of Galatians. And this is something that is rather different. For at least for me, it's something that I don't know that I've honestly ever done as a pastor, is work through a whole book of the Bible, kind of chapter by chapter, and preach through that. But I'm actually really excited about doing this. I think it's something we're going to integrate more and more as we go. I mean, typically we do a lot of topical messages, which are great. But I'm hoping to move more into doing this. So again, we're going to kick this thing off with week one. We're going to be looking at chapter one. And on this, the title of this series is called Freedom, a study of the book of Galatians. And I'm really excited about this because the book of Galatians is one of my all-time favorite books of the Bible, because it is jammed, packed full of just wisdom, of knowledge, of things that we need to hear. And when I think about, you know, why it's important for us as Christ followers, especially in 2019, to really dig in and study the book of Galatians, I start to think about the different conversations that I've had and continue to have throughout my life just with just people in general, whether they're people inside the church or outside the church, Christ followers or non-believers. Whenever I have conversations about a church or about God, it doesn't take long for religion to start seeping in, right? And some people, when you hear the word religion, you've maybe not been burned as much by it, and so you don't think of anything really negative. But a lot of people, when they hear religion, they think about judgment, shame, and blame. They think about all those man-made things that we have used to try to shame and blame and control people into doing things. And that is simply not the gospel. And what I think is beautiful is that this is what we see Paul writing about in Galatians. You know, we, in today's day and age, there's this overwhelming emphasis on rules. There's an overwhelming emphasis on the do's. You have to do this, and don't do this, and you've got to do this, and you got to follow this religious work, and you've got to make sure you do this and you do that. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, but when we start to elevate those things above God, it becomes a major problem. See, basically, when we see this, we're taking the emphasis off the true gospel message, and we're placing it on a man-made message. We're placing it on all those religious works as opposed to the true message of Jesus that brings freedom. I mean, it brings freedom, not bondage, not enslavement, not guilt and shame, not insecurity or rejection. But the message of Jesus brings hope. It brings healing. It brings mercy, love, grace, salvation. And yes, it brings freedom. Freedom is a powerful thing. Grace is an incredible thing. Sometimes we get too afraid to preach on it or talk about it too much because we feel like people are just going to run wild with it. But when you truly, and I've said this plenty of times, when you truly understand grace, it's quite the opposite. Because you understand that you don't deserve it, but God gives it to you anyways. And all you want to do is glorify and follow him and serve him as a result of that. But unfortunately, far too many times, we get hung up on the works aspect of things, of doing the right thing, of following the list of religion. And it has a lot of negative outcomes. People are being led astray today and have been for years by a false gospel message that's focused on works. You see, this works-based salvation, or this works-based approval from God, all that really does is it leads us into frustration because we can't be good enough. Then leads to anxiety, at times depression, fear, finger-pointing, casting the blame to somewhere else, judgment. All of those negative things, arrogance, all those negative things that people start talking about when they talk about the church. Those people that don't know Christ don't want anything to do with Christ. See, because it also pushes people away from God. Because people don't want anything to do with that. When they hear someone constantly shaming them, pointing the finger and telling them how terrible you are, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, and this, and this, and this, and they don't want to be a part of that. Yes, the true gospel message calls us that and tells us that we are not believe or that we are not good enough, that we are sinners. That is fact, that's offensive enough. But then there's hope beyond that. There's grace, there's mercy, there's love. And a lot of times we forget to preach on those things. And so throughout this series, what we're going to find is that this is nothing new. This has been going back. It's been an issue. It's been a struggle for believers all the way back to the very beginning of the church. This is the very reason that Paul wrote the book of Galatians, which was a letter to the people of Galatia. And so what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is, like I said, we're going to work chapter by chapter through the book of Galatians. There's six chapters, so we're going to take 6 weeks, and we're going to study, and we're going to break down some of the key concepts in each chapter. And for me, someone that loves this book, and someone that's very OCD and a perfectionist and detail-oriented, this is going to be a little bit of a struggle because there's so much just good knowledge and wisdom and takeaways from this book. So, but I'm going to do my best, and my hope and my prayer is that at the end of this series, that you'll have a true understanding of what the gospel is really all about. And not only to understand it, but that you'll be able to live that out in your life. That you'll receive it and live it out. That you'll no longer be captive and bound by the false gospel of works. That you won't be enslaved by that, but that you will be truly set free by the grace. It's such a beautiful and incredible thing. And so before we jump into chapter one and really start getting into it, I want to give you a brief rundown of kind of what was going on at this point in time in history and what led to Paul actually writing this. I've already mentioned some of it, but basically we see that Paul wrote this around AD 49. Now scholars kind of debate kind of the time frame of it, but this is potentially his very first letter to a church. And so what was happening is that Paul was, he was going around and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus, right? And so majority of these new Christ followers were Jewish people. Jewish people who before Jesus had to follow this strict set of rules and strict set of laws. There's like hundreds of laws and rules that they had to follow in order to be pure. Right, to be holy, to be right with God. And so they were used to following these rituals. And so then Jesus comes on the scene and he says, hey, I'm here to bring a new covenant to my people. He comes and changes the game. He switches it up completely. He said, there's a new way. And he said, I am the way. See, in Matthew chapter 22, we see the evidence that there's a new way, that there's this new covenant, because one of the Jewish leaders who was committed, you know, to the Jewish law, he was trying to trip Jesus up and said, hey, Jesus, which of the commandments is the greatest? Knowing that they're all important, they were trying to trip him up, and Jesus said this. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do these two things, all of the law hangs on this. If you can do these two things, you have fulfilled it. love God and love people. It was a new command. It was a new covenant that Jesus brought in. And there was this freedom that was found in Jesus. And it was difficult for them because, like I said, they were used to following all of these rules. Like, that was how they were made right. That's how they were pure. And so what ended up happening is some of these Jewish peoples and some of these leaders, I mean, they were really struggling to balance this freedom with following all their rules. And again, I'm not saying that following rules is bad, so don't hear me, especially teenagers out there. Don't hear me say that rules are wrong. They just go do what you want. It's not what we're talking about here. But there's freedom in Jesus, a true freedom. And so this got even more complicated for the Jewish believers when Paul started taking the message to the Gentiles, which were the non-Jewish people. So he's taking this to the Gentiles, and they're starting to receive Jesus. And so the Jewish leaders are like, okay, I don't get this. How can someone that's not Jewish be right with God? See, they saw it more as who they were as opposed to all being equal. It was a struggle for them then. Let's keep it real. It's a struggle for us at times now. So they were struggling with that. They were saying, how can these people be made right with God if they don't follow all the Jewish laws and the customs? How can that happen? And so this started to create a major issue within the church. And what happened from there was these people who were the religious elite, like the Jewish extremists, they would basically follow Paul around. And after Paul would preach the gospel of Jesus, of freedom in Jesus, they would kind of drop in afterwards and then say, hey, you know what? What Paul said was beautiful. It was great. It was good. However, you also need to follow these rules. If you're not Jewish, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, hey, if you're going to follow Jesus, give him your life. But hey, also, you need to be circumcised. Talk about a hard sell there. They said, hey, you need to follow all the Jewish festivals and holidays. You need to follow all the Jewish food laws. You have to do all of these things in addition to knowing Jesus. And so that was a struggle. They were dropping in and teaching something different than what Paul said. Paul said it's just about Jesus, that there's freedom in Jesus. And Jesus alone, they didn't like that. So they came in and were trying to add to it. And Paul wasn't about it. And so as God's messenger to the Gentiles and to all people, Paul had to call this out, right? He had to confront this issue. And that's exactly what he does, and many times very boldly and directly and bluntly in the book of Galatians. See, in chapter 1, Paul kicks the letter off like he does just with a lot of his letters, with a general greeting, but then he quickly shifts gears, and he's not playing around. Like, he gets right to the point really quick. So let's go ahead and jump into Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And this is how it kicks off. This is what he says. It said, Paul, an apostle, sent not from man, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. All the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever, amen. Strong start, right? He's coming in there with a greeting, talking, I love you, grace and peace, drops the gospel on him about Jesus, and then he's like, this is great. First five verses sound great. Then he switches gears real quick in verse 6. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I'm astonished. Talk about a quick change up of tone there, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, and you are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, so he's repeating it a second time, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He's not playing around with this. He's showing us how important the true gospel message is and how detrimental any false teaching can be. That's a lot of pressure for people that are teaching the gospel. Anyone that teaches a false gospel, may they be cursed. But see, that shows you how important it is to truly understand the gospel, the truth of Jesus. He was serious, and he needed to address this issue accordingly. And so throughout the rest of his letter, through all 6 chapters, we see that Paul wrote, and he has a lot of good things that he wants to say to the churches of Galatia. He's warning them many times. He wrote to warn them of false teachers. He also wrote to remind them, more importantly, about their freedom in Christ. See, he was worried that they were going to be like oppressed and held captive, and they weren't going to be set free to be who God created them to be and do the things that God created them to do, because they would be too busy trying to follow all these rules and man-made religion as opposed to being free in Christ. He wrote to set them free from the Jewish law, to set them free from a works-based salvation or a works-based approval. He set them free from the power of sin. He wrote to set them free from hopelessness, from the mistakes of their past, to set them free from their future mistakes, to set them free for all people to know and love and receive God. Really, this is a book of freedom. It is a book of freedom. And again, it is just as prevalent today as it was back then. We need to hear this message. We need to live out our freedom that we have in Christ. So, as we just noted, Paul kind of begins the letter, general greeting, then he quickly moves on to kind of warning them, warning the people and telling them, hey, you've got to stop following this false gospel message. This isn't what we taught. This isn't what Jesus taught. So kind of push this aside. Let's get back to the truth. And so Paul uses what I believe is one of our greatest tools that we have, that we all have in sharing the gospel, is our story, right? It's your story. It's how Christ came into your life and transformed you. Your story is a powerful, powerful message. And it's unique to you. And that's what Paul uses to help kind of combat this, especially in chapter 1. He goes straight from greeting to strong warning to then using his story to help them to understand the importance of being set free in Jesus. And to help them understand that it's not about doing anything other than receiving the grace of God. Being saved by grace through faith. That's it. That is Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing. And so, like I said, for the rest of this book, he kind of structures his argument through his story. And so we jump back into verse 10, and I know we just read 1 through 9. We're not going to read the whole book or chapters, so chill out. But verse 10, he asks this question. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Think about that. Am I trying to win the approval of other people, or am I trying to win the approval of God? Then he goes on, or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He asked them a question. We see Jesus did this a lot. Someone would challenge him or something. He would just ask great questions. I think great leaders all do their best work when they're not trying to teach somebody something or tell them something, but they just ask a very strategic question. to help them figure it out themselves. And I think that's what he's doing here. He's asking this question. Am I trying to please people? Or am I trying to please and glorify God? From there, then he jumps back into his story. As he goes on through the rest of the chapter, he starts talking about himself. And if you know anything about Paul, you knew that before being named Paul, he was Saul, right? And he was known as a Jew of Jews. Like he, when it came to following the law, like he was on point. Like he was about it. And he was actually dedicated his entire life to trying to actually destroy the church, the movement of Jesus. He was trying to snuff it out. He was out there persecuting Christians, those who were following Jesus. He was killing them. Same dude that wrote this. But then he had an encounter with Jesus, right? God met him and began to transform him. He was never the same. God revealed to him that, hey, it's not about the law. It's not about your works. I mean, you're doing a good job of it, but that's not good enough. But I'm going to give you grace. I got you. You don't have to do anything. It's by grace. And that began to transform him. It began to break down those barriers, began to break those chains that were holding him captive. He was free. Free to serve God. Free to share the truth. I mean, he dedicated the rest of his life to this. He traveled. He spread the gospel of Jesus. He wrote the majority of the New Testament, about a third of the New Testament. The same guy that was trying to destroy that movement became one of the biggest proponents of it, to launch it. And it was because he encountered the grace of God. He was set free. He understood his freedom in Christ. He understood that it wasn't about his works. It wasn't about the do and don't list. It was about grace. That's why in Ephesians, later he writes, that it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And it is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He says, it's not about anything that I've done. Because look, I was crushing it over here. I was doing a great job. But it ain't about that. It's about Jesus. It's about the fact that God sent his son to die for us, to take our place, extended us grace, something that we could never do on our own. He made a way. And all we have to do is have faith and believe. We have freedom. You see, the false gospel message that Paul was speaking out against was about works, right? About religious, for them specifically about the Jewish law. So what I want you to understand this morning is that the law itself is from humans, right? Religion. Works-based mentality. A lot of the things that I was taught growing up and that I still hear today are things that have a little bit of scriptural background, but then it was put above Jesus. As a teenager and even younger, I was more focused on what I needed to do and not do as opposed to focused on my actual relationship with God. One thing that we're going to see as we move on through this series, and that I'm going to really begin to encourage, that I'm trying to do myself, encouraging my family, and I'm going to be encouraging you to do, is stop worrying so much about the do and don't list. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Because the fact of the matter is if you grow in your relationship with Christ, those other things will work themselves out. Because he's bigger than those things. He'll lead us to do the things we need to do. He'll help us to avoid the things that we don't need to do. He'll help reveal to us those things in our lives that we need to get rid of. Because trust me, every single person in this room has something. I don't care who you are. I have them. And sometimes we don't even know what they are. But we're too busy focused on the do's and don'ts and this and this. We just need to get in the Word. We need to spend time with Jesus. We need to grow in our relationship with Him. We need to stay connected to Him and allow Him to change us. Because our own efforts are going to fall every time. See, the law is about us, about what we can do. It's about our efforts for righteousness, our efforts to be made right before God, our attempt to make things right. And we can work, and we can grind, and we can do all those things, but we're never going to be perfect. On the flip side, the true gospel message, the message of Jesus, is about grace. And grace is from God. You see, where the law and works, that's from us and our attempts to be made right. Grace is from God. It's about Him. It's about what He did for us. About God sending His Son for us to make a way. Knowing that regardless of how much we tried and how good we are, that we are not going to be good enough. So He sent Jesus. He extended grace. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life and just in your personal relationships where you did something and what you deserved was not going to be good and someone said, hey, you know what? I love you. I'm not stressing it. Don't do it again. But it's all good. They extended grace. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's transformational when you truly encounter grace. And that's what God did for us. He gave us grace. It comes from God, something that we could never do ourselves. And that's kind of at the heart of what Paul is saying here when he's asking this question, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? See, if I'm trying to please people, man, I'm going to go through all the religious acts and I'm going to do all those things and, you know, I'm trying to please my family or my parents or my church or my pastor or whatever, and we jump through all the hoops and we can look as great as we can be on the outside. But in reality, we're not changing here by grace through faith. It doesn't matter. It's about being made right with God. And our works will never get us there. That's what Paul's trying to tell these people, because they're getting mixed up in, okay, we have Jesus, but now they're also saying, I got to do all these works. So let me start focusing on this stuff too. And what happens is you get sidelined by these things because it's more about us. It becomes self-serving and self-seeking. Even though we don't mean it to be, and we leave Jesus over here, then we start trying to work and work and work and do and do and do and do. And really, we just start tanking. Because we're not connected over here. We've got to connect with Jesus. So what about you? Are you working for the approval of people or of God? And see, the beautiful thing is, if you've received Christ as your Savior, check. He approves. Because it's not about you, it's about what His Son did. When He sees you, He sees His Son. Because He gave His life for you. He took the penalty for you. He paid the price for your screw-ups. Grace. So we need to focus on our relationship with Him. It's not about your works and what we can do, but it's about what Jesus did, what's already been done. And there's freedom in that. And we have to receive that. We have to. If not, we're just going to work ourselves to death and get nowhere. Maybe a pat on the back. Maybe some people on the outside that you're not super close with might think that you're super spiritual. But really, what are we doing if we're not connected to the Father? If we're not glorifying and honoring Him? If we're not receiving His grace and living by that? So as we wrap up week one, like I said, there's a lot in chapter one. There's a lot more. I encourage you to go back and read it. Throughout this series, as we cover a chapter, I really encourage you to go back and reread that and kind of dig into it. But I want to leave you with a final thought. And this thought's going to continue to kind of come up throughout this series. It's one we're going to go back to and we're going to focus on because I think it's really transformational. And it's this. It's that we are saved by grace through faith, but must live by grace and faith. See, many people in the church, especially that I've been around, and I've, like I said, I grew up in the church. I've been in church since I can remember. I remember nursery and flannel graph boards in Sunday school. So I've been around. And one thing that I've seen, and I've heard the message of grace preached, you're saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. I've heard that over and over again. But I've not really been taught very much that from that point there, we have to continue to live by grace and faith. Normally, it looks more like you're saved by grace and faith, now do all these works to keep the train going. But those come with receiving grace and faith and living by grace and faith. It's like the Galatians, man. They received the message of Jesus and then started turning to works because that's what they were being taught. We could so easily slip into that mindset with good intentions. And again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do some of the things. I mean, we're going to take a communion here in a moment, and that's an ordinance that we read in Scripture to do in remembrance of Jesus and what he did for us. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't forgive you a taking of this of your sins. This doesn't make you right before God. It's a way of recognizing and honoring what Jesus did in providing grace for you. And we always have to remember that. The works themselves don't cut it. It's grace, faith. It's about digging in and building our relationship with Jesus. That's what brings life change. That's what brings transformation. And again, when you look at the life of Paul, that's what we see. The dude was about it. He was, like I said, he was the man when it came to the religious law. But he didn't know Jesus. Didn't have very much impact. But when he gave his life to Jesus and embraced the freedom that he had in Christ, that's when he was remembered. That's when he began to make a major, major impact. So much so that 2019, we're sitting here talking about it. It's powerful. And it's because it's grace, faith in Jesus that brings about life change. Not your works. It's grace through faith. Paul wraps up the chapter by saying that the people praise God because of him. Again, it wasn't because of his religious works. It was because Jesus living through him. Because he received it. He lived by grace. He'll direct us. He'll guide us. And we'll know what's right. Then we'll be able to live that life. See, what's interesting is that we focus a lot about trying to live the good Christian life. I don't think God calls us to that. I think he calls us to receive his grace to allow him to live that life through us. I've been so many times trying my best to live the good Christian life. And every single time I try to do it on my own, it doesn't take very long before I fall flat on my face and I get frustrated. Or if I start getting a little bit of success, pride starts building up. Look at me go. Crushing it. And then boom. I screw up. Do something stupid. Back at square one. We're not called to do that. He doesn't require that. But when we receive grace, we embrace the freedom that we have in Christ and we connect with him. We let him change us from the inside out. He
He lives that life through us. And I would much rather that be the case, because I've tried. I'm not good at it. I fail a lot. But the more I connect with Jesus, the more I spend time with him, the more I truly let go of myself and release it to him, he begins to live that life through me. He begins to sanctify me, to change me into who he really created me to be. It takes the pressure off me. Because it's not about me. It's about him living through me. All I have to do is receive. And it's the same for you. So, like I said, my prayer is that you would truly begin to embrace the grace that God gave us through his son. That you would embrace the freedom that we have in him. Again, not so that we can go out and do whatever it is we want. It just doesn't work that way. When you truly receive it and embrace it and understand it, and it changes you forever. And all you want to do is glorify him and live for him and know him more. And as you do that, you grow, and he begins to live that life through us. So LifePoint, may we be a church that embraces the pure gospel message. That we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. It is Jesus plus nothing. And that from that point, we live by grace and faith. And I promise you, if you do that, you'll begin to gain traction. You'll begin to see God doing incredible things in and through you. You'll be changed. We're going to receive it and live by it. Grace and faith. God, we thank you. We thank you for the fact that we can come into your presence. That we can study and read your word, and we can spend time in prayer. That we can get to know you more. God, we're so thankful for the fact that you hear us. That you want to hear us. That you want to be connected with us. God, we're thankful that you're bigger than any type of service order issues or technology issues or whatever, God, that you can speak and that you can move regardless of the situation. So, God, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you for the grace that you've given us. God, we pray during this time that you would just speak to us. God, help us to hear what it is that you have to say. Help us not to be bound by anything but your grace and mercy and your love. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly come to know Jesus. You've never come to know him as your Savior. You've never received his grace through faith in Jesus. And if that's you this morning, you're at a great place. And he's calling you. He wants nothing more than to be in relationship with you. As was sung earlier, he's a good, good Father who loves you. He does. He made a way for us to be right. Knowing that we couldn't do it ourselves, knowing that we could not be good enough on our own, made a way for us. And that's through Jesus. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So if that's you this morning, you've never encountered Jesus in that way, you've never given your life to him, just here in a moment, or you can do it right now. Just call out to God, however he leads you. It's not about a magic prayer. It's not about anything other than you just doing business with God, confessing that you have flaws and failures and that you're not perfect, and trusting Jesus
his grace, his mercy, believing in him. He's that good. He wants you to be connected to him. So if that's you, you just do business with God, or if you want to come see me after the service, I'd love to talk to you. We can talk more about that. No pressure. It's all good. And if you're not ready for that, just keep coming to LifePoint. Keep studying, keep looking, and seeing what God's all about. We love that. This is a safe place for you to do that. But maybe you're here also, and you've been a Christ follower for a while, and you very easily get caught up in the religion game, or in the works-based kind of salvation, or a works-based continuing to be right with God. And you need to just truly embrace the freedom that you have in Jesus. You need to stop trying to do all these different things, and you just need to connect with him once again. Spend time with him. Spend time talking to him, listening, reading his word, talking to other believers, studying the word together, challenging each other in a loving way. But it's time to connect with him, receiving and living by his grace through faith. Whatever it is that God is leading you right now, here in a moment, I'm going to give you time. You just do business with him, however he leads. That's one thing I love about God. Sometimes he's just going to do what he does, thankfully. So maybe he's speaking to you about something that hasn't even been talked about today. That's